is a place. A place where big...
Congratulations, Mr. Sims. You are the fattest boy in camp.
...is beautiful.
Chipmunks, download!
And then isn't it.
This is definitely not sanitary.
For Jerry and his friends, it was a dream come true. Until the new owner...
That is out of here, mister!
Oh, no.
...turned it into a nightmare.
Lunch has been canceled today due to lack of hustle.
Now, after 6 weeks of frustration...
Then we're going to climb that 1,000-foot rock face over there.
...starvation...
Get off!
There isn't a gummy bear left in this entire camp.
...and humiliation...
Nice swing, you fat tubbo.
Everyone having fun?
Jerry's out to do something far more important than lose a few pounds.
I have a plan.
He's out to gain respect.
What is going on?
You can't kidnap the owner of a camp.
Welcome to the annual Apache Relay.
We're as good as anybody. And it's about time we started acting that way.
Take him down, Cappy.
Walt Disney Pictures presents a comedy for every kid.
Tell me the artist and title, please.
Cher?
Da Vinci's Mona Lisa.
Tired of taking it.
I'm so slow. It would have been cool to go fast.
And ready to dish it out. Heavyweights.
And welcome everybody to another episode of Lobotomized. I'm Kevin.
I'm Kyle.
I'm Amanda.
Yes. And tonight we are going back to the movies. Usually we do horror, but we're mixing it up even more this time. And tonight we're going to be talking about Heavyweights from 1995.
Yeah, this is a childhood classic for me, man.
Yeah, it's like I was telling you off mic a little bit. This one was not in my rotation like other ones were.
That's I think I saw this.
Yeah.
I think I saw this in theaters.
Oh, shit.
So I think that's why, like, and we didn't go to the movies that much when I was
a
kid.
You
so
and like 8 other people saw this in the theater?
No, I think it was...
Was it pretty packed?
Maybe my brother was there, or just like me
well,
and
no,
my mom
I mean like the
brother.
Theater itself. Like, oh, was it like packed?
I don't think it was packed.
Spoiler alert, this did not do well.
I do not
the
think it was packed. So. But,
It should have, though.
I loved it, though.
Nice. That's awesome.
I know that I've seen this movie before because I, when I was watching it, I remembered scenes, but I couldn't quite remember exactly what the storyline was, but I do remember watching it back in the day, but like you, it wasn't like, you know, a Tommy Boy or a Three Ninjas where, you know, that was my jam back in the day. And there was nothing, I just think I didn't. Yeah, it just wasn't in the rotation. Like, yeah. I knew of it, but I just never seen it.
Yeah, I never, like, disliked it or anything like that. It just, for one reason or another, wasn't in my rotation. Same as you, so.
Yeah, I think it was just, for me, seeing it in the theaters, and they would play it on, like, Disney Channel a lot back when I was younger, too. So it was like, oh, I remember when I saw that, and, like... You know, if it was on, I was watching it.
Well, and I think probably one of the reasons it didn't do so well, bless you.
That was kind of a cough.
Oh, cough.
That was a cough that I was trying to mute, but failing, because I saw the little bop on the recording. I was like, yeah, nope, didn't silence that one. So,
so I think one of the reasons it didn't do so well in the theater is because I was listening to a movie review, and it had said that I think this is technically a Disney. This is a Disney movie, but Disney really, as we go through it, Disney did not know how to market this one, and so they just didn't market. Like, meaning, like, no promotional stuff, no television interviews with the people. None of that.
Yeah, like, why bother? Like, why even bother making the damn movie in the first place
know.
Then?
Well, and actually,
I'm glad they did. I was disappointed that it was a Disney movie because I had forgot that going in as well.
Well, Ben Stiller said that he would do the movie, but he also did not want to be in any of the marketing.
Okay.
So that also, if they marketed it, like, that also, because that was such a huge you know, he's, we will find out he's a huge part of this movie, but because he wasn't in any, I don't even know that, I don't know if he was in previews, but at least he, any sort of marketing aspect, he wasn't in it. Therefore, you know, if they had anything out, they further, people weren't even looking at it because they didn't even know Ben Stiller was in it unless they actually went to the movie and saw it.
Yeah, like he's not even, I have it up right here. He's not even on like the movie poster.
Right.
He's and not even was, on the cover if you went that to rent was it.
Her, yeah.
Did he hate this movie?
No, I read something that he was in the midst of acting and directing, and they didn't really, the movie review that I listened to didn't really go into it, but for some reason he just did not want to be in the marketing.
Hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. So I mean, that didn't help them.
I mean, fucking drag Jerry out there then and have him, you know, just right. yell at people to go see the fucking movie.
Like, hey, everybody come see me be a huge dick to all these fat kids.
Yeah, like, exactly. Come see my
son. That's why.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, he wasn't even like the most, like, he's not Ben Stiller like we know him now. I think he had been on SNL. Maybe, I mean, I don't know what he would have been in like as far as a big movie before this. Reality Bites, was he in that?
He was, wasn't he?
I think yeah, so, Reality but I don't Bites know what like year 92? That came out. Yeah, that's
I think Reality
pretty
Bites
early
was like
90s.
92.
So maybe he was, you know, people knew him, I guess.
People, yeah, I was going to say, at that point, people had to have known him.
Yeah.
I don't know, I just don't get it. I mean, unless you absolutely hate the movie and are embarrassed by it for some reason.
No, he was in the Ben Stiller Show. Sketch comedy.
Oh yeah, that was a thing for like 6 months. I remember.
Yeah, I've never seen it. Yeah, I don't think they
since
ever
it was 1990. So he.
Yeah, like I said, it was the thing for about 6 months.
Yep. So he was in something. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Nothing else really popping up before that.
I don't know. This was just I looked up the Ben Stiller Show just because I knew it existed.
Oh, okay.
So I didn't go on IMDb or anything.
Well, congratulations to you and three other people that still remember that. Sorry, throwing shade. He's a dick in this movie, so it's fine. Oh, man, nice. Well, I forgot what the fuck I was saying anyway. So you ready to get into this thing?
Yeah.
All right,
yeah,
let's do it.
Guess that about caps it off there.
Nice. Yeah, so opens up on the last day of school here. We meet Carp. His name's Jerry in this movie, but he's Carp in the Mighty Ducks, so I'm just going to be calling him Carp the whole time, because I saw the Mighty Ducks way more than I saw this. So, and there's a lot of ducks hanging out in this movie, too, by the way. So, this is actually after D2. So,
was it? Okay.
Yeah, this is after D2. So,
geez, when did the first Mighty Ducks come out, then?
First one came out, I think it was, like, 92.
Oh, okay.
So, this one came out, like, the same year or the year before, so... So yeah, Keenan's already a duck at this point. So, but yeah, so we meet him, and like I said, it's the last day of school. He's, you know, getting out and everything. Like, you literally have the shot of the clock going to 3 o'clock, and then the bell ringing and everybody running out.
Yeah, papers just go flying. People are burning, literally burning.
And he's
textbooks.
Like 11 years old.
Yeah, which is weird because it looks like he's leaving high school.
Right,
and
right.
He's supposed to be 11. So
yeah, there's definitely like. High schoolers.
It's a high school vibe.
Yeah,
so like how they started.
100% high. I mean, like there's
people burning books.
There's two kids like making out in the corner like, as they're leaving. So who are 2 feet taller than this kid? So like, I don't know. It's kind of weird.
When I was 11, you're just making cootie catchers like,
like telling the future with those stupid things, you know?
Or you're like playing, you know, tag with the guys that you like or something, you know, you're 10, 11.
Just smoking weed in the woods and, you know, getting shithouse for the first time and
stealing cigarettes.
Oh, you didn't do that, Kevin.
I mean, you know, some kids did, not me. So I went and told on them. So
sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. By the way, I love this song that plays over this like whole like just getting to know Jerry.
Oh yeah, he's like going around. Yeah, like closer to free by Bogies. Yeah, it's definitely an upbeat, poppy like '90s song.
Well, I like how they portray Jerry at first because you know he's kind of like the Yeah, I don't know. He's a little chubby.
He's kind of like a G. Willikers type of vibe to him, hanging
out with his friend, and then all of a sudden he misses his bus, so he's running after the bus. Mm-hmm. And
I just thought he was Tommy Boy.
Yeah. I thought he was just like a fun,
the
like
classic
oh.
like nerd thing with the kid chasing after the bus. You know, mm-hmm. they did in fucking Spider-Man as well. So
yeah. Oh.
He's kind of like an average Joe of a kid, I'd say.
I don't think he's a nerd, I think he's just an average Joe.
Until he tries to throw this baseball, and this is probably one of the saddest things I've ever seen in my life.
It's pretty pathetic.
Because I'm immediately like, hold on, wait, I'm supposed to like this kid? Like, I don't know if I'm supposed to like this kid, because he literally, there's a fence that is his height, and it takes him 4 attempts to throw the fucking baseball back over the fence onto the field.
So we're kind of at this point, right? Because they're just showing you kind of how unathletic he is.
Yeah.
And just kind of, like I said, he missed his bus. And then was he walking past the baseball fields because he missed his bus? Is that what it was?
Yeah, pretty much.
And so then he's trying to throw the baseball back in because it threw, and he can't throw with crap. But it's funny because he's throwing with his left hand. Like, which is clearly, because Dustin's like, oh, well, clearly he's not left-handed, but he's doing it for the movie.
Yeah, I don't think he's a southpaw.
Yeah, you see him just like...
Poor kid, like no one ever taught him how to throw a baseball.
Yeah, it's like, dude, Jeffrey Tambor, where are you with this shit? Like, what the fuck?
Even the coach, like, that's the last throw, because he goes to even the shorter part of the fence, just, like, puts his head down in shame for him.
Oh, yeah, dude, it's embarrassing.
It's embarrassing as hell.
Oh, God. But then, he does this other fun thing where he stops at a lemonade stand and just kind of starts chugging the pitcher after paying for one
Instead
lemonade.
Instead of taking the cup, he just... Screw the cup, he just steals the rest of the girls.
It's like
the
that
girls
old,
like start crying, pretty much.
It's like that old bit in like cartoons used to do it all the time, where somebody would have a cake and they would cut out one slice of cake and then take the rest of it
and leave
the single slice. It's kind of like that, but in lemonade form.
I'm pretty sure, when they always have Joey Chestnut in like the hot dog eating contest?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure there is a lemonade chugging contest.
Are you serious?
I swear to God, because it comes up on my Instagram feed.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
And there's this big guy who just is like the king of it.
Why specifically lemonade?
Yeah, because he quit drinking beer.
It's lemonade.
Well, I mean,
I think it's a gallon of lemonade.
Why not just water? Why not just water or iced tea?
Because sugar is probably much harder to do.
Yeah,
that's
probably.
All gallon. I think it's a gallon of lemonade. Anyways, that actually reminded me, gallon of lemonade. You guys can move on, but I'm totally looking
That's fine. All right. You can come back to us with the gallon of lemonade and find out specifically why it's lemonade. Cause I'm actually more curious about that than the
amount.
Yeah.
Like, they have the Nathan's hot dog eating contest. This is the Nathan's lemonade chug.
Okay. So
that's a real thing.
So Nathan's just also makes lemonade.
I guess.
And that's why it's lemonade. Okay. I mean, that makes sense.
Yeah. Nathan's chug contest. So when I saw that, I was just like, God, reminds me of the.
This kid should enter the contest.
Yeah. There you go. Then he'd finally be a winner at something.
Yeah. You could win at something.
Yeah. So after his drink, he ends up going home.
Covered in sweat.
Covered in sweat and lemonade. He's really gross at this point in the movie. And
the dog almost attacks him.
We're supposed to like him. Yeah, we're supposed to like him, I guess. But all right. I mean, I'm trying. I will say this. I'm trying. But we meet his parents, and it's fucking Nancy Reum and fucking Jeffrey Tambor. Fucking love Jeffrey Tambor.
Yeah, he pops up in the most random things.
I know, like, he does. He's fantastic. I love it.
God, just to name a few. I mean,
like, Arrested Development, Archer.
Yeah. Dustin noticed that too. Yeah.
He's in Something About Mary.
Yep. Yeah.
He small part.
Yeah, he just pops in a bunch of random shit. It's fucking fantastic.
City Slickers 2, I believe. Mm-hmm. Maybe both of them. I'm not sure. He plays Billy Crystal's boss.
Okay.
Because I recently watched those and
nice.
I was like, oh, yeah.
It's like, totally shit, Jeffrey Tambor is showing up. Like, I don't know. I always enjoy seeing him, so.
He's in the freaking Hangover,
yep.
too. Yep. Alan's dad.
Yep. You never leave the table when you're on a heater.
Yeah. What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, except for herpes.
That show will come back with you.
Oh, man. So, well, unfortunately for Carp here, his parents aren't alone. So apparently there's this, I guess, door-to-door camp salesman. Was this a thing? I'm sorry. Was this a thing?
Did his parents, like, request a guy to come over?
It's, I don't know. They do the same thing in camp now here. So there's a fucking, there's a thing. Sorry. I don't know if
that was previously on mic here. Anybody got that? Okay. Previous, sorry. Reference to an off mic joke, but,
but basically they do the same shit where it's like, here's our camp. Here's a video. Like, I'm going to come over and,
do this shit. They do this,
like, well, they didn't have the internet. You had to be creative back in the day. Like, you know, they had the other, you know, door-to-door makeup sales and, you know.
I mean, this movie ends if you made it past the credits with a door-to-door sales. So,
yeah, I don't think he was a door-to-door, though.
Okay.
Just for, like,
So they called him. He was in the phone book.
I think they made an appointment. Because when Jerry gets home, or when Carp gets home, he walks in and he's like, oh, what are you guys both doing home? Like, did somebody die?
That's true.
No, we have a guest. We have company, and he's here for you. So I think, they probably set this up.
Damn, man, you're taking time off of work to listen to this whole camp spiel?
Like, yeah.
The fuck out
but
of
then
here.
I wonder, like, with their, like, waiting there for him to come back, and the school bus drives right by, or stops, and he doesn't get off, and they're like, well, I guess we'll just wait. You know, like...
Yeah.
Kind of be like, where's my kid?
Yeah, I know. Like, how how extra
was the school never called there? Me or anything.
I mean, back then they were just like, hey, he's probably fine. But
yeah.
But yeah, no, now that you mention it, that was a very bad day for him, you know, from the parents' point of view, for him to miss the bus.
Yeah.
Hopefully they, like, offered him a cheese plate or something like that. I don't know. But yeah, so this is Roger Johnson. And like we're saying, he has a basically infomercial style video for this Camp Hope that, turns out to be a fat camp. Is fat camp still a thing, or have we gotten rid of that because it's, like, shameful or whatever?
They're probably like wellness camps.
Yeah.
There you go. They're calling it wellness, but it's fucking fat camp, you know? They just had to rename it so nobody would cry.
Like, how much there is camps around. I wonder.
Or, like, there's retreats. There's wellness retreats.
Yeah.
But, like, I mean, if you look into some of them, you're going to, I mean, it's not all bad camp. Like, skinny people go. It's also for, like spiritual and, like, there's a bunch of things, I'm sure. But I'm sure there are weight loss retreats. But they're not going to call it
fat camp. They're not going to call it fat camp.
Fuck that. Bring back fucking fat camp. Just tell
you
it
just
like
make
it
a t-shirt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bring back fat camp.
Just tell it like it is.
We need to sell this t-shirt.
I feel though it's this movie proves anything. It's kind of that, like, sending a criminal to prison just kind of makes him better at doing crime.
A better criminal.
These kids gain weight when they go to this camp.
Yeah, but they're happy.
Yeah, though, they're having a blast.
They're having a blast. That's why they keep wanting to go back.
But yeah, so, you know, so he shows them this whole thing. And of course, Carp wants nothing to do with it. It is cool, though, because we get Jerry Stiller and Ann Mira in there with a little cameo because they play the camp owners, which is kind of fun.
What I learned, I always knew, obviously, that Jerry Stiller was Ben Stiller's dad. Mm-hmm. I did not know that that's his mom.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was his actual parents.
His actual parents. Yeah.
Nice. Oh, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, like, it doesn't look too bad, though, because they're going through a bunch of stuff, and they have, like, the blob, which is, like, a swim thing that, like, you bounce up and, you know, land in the water, and then they got go-karts and shit, so, I mean, it's not all bad, I suppose.
So the go-karts are breaking down Jerry at this point. He's like...
Yeah.
He's like, well, actually, this kind of looks cool.
Yeah, I mean, like, he still is like, fuck this, like, I don't care. Well, like, I'm not going to fat camp.
I still love that he was looking at his dad. He's like, you're fatter than I am.
He's got a point.
Absolutely.
He's like, you respect your father.
Yeah. And he was like, I'm not going. And then immediately afterwards is like the cut to the airplane.
Yep. It's like, eh, that's what you think. Not only are you going, you're traveling to wherever
alone.
And apparently all these kids are as well, which is kind of weird. Because he is. And basically, like, he has this whole flight. This is where he meets Keenan. You know, Keenan properly deduces that he's also going to fat camp.
Yeah, I love that little, like, how he deduces that.
Hey, can somebody please say it? Because that is, like, the greatest, one of the greatest parts of the movie. The dialogue.
The exchange right there.
It is pretty funny.
Are you going to fat camp?
He's like, no.
Why?
Because you're fat.
Because you're fat.
Is this your dad? Is this your big fat dad? Like, he doesn't say that, but he should have.
He's like, is this your dad?
He's like, no.
He fat too.
he's fat too.
But he's like, yeah, I'm going to fat camp.
Yeah, he finally admits it.
I bet that's your dad then too. Yeah. I was like, no, it's not my dad.
That's actually not my dad. That's some random guy that whatever. But I mean, he does tell him it's like you're not the fat kid because everybody's the fat kid. You know, it's fine. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, for their
and
sake. I mean,
he's actually all about it. Yeah, he's actually all about it, which is surprising because most of the time you make these movies, you know, it's fat camp. Everybody's like, this is like prison. I fucking hate this. Blah blah. But Keenan rolls up and he's like, dude, this is gonna be sweet. Like, don't worry about it.
Yeah, tells him it's gonna be a great time.
And honestly, the way he describes it. It sounds awesome because you're right. You know, I could see a kid being super subconscious if you're going to maybe a regular camp and you're just like, God, am I going to be
the fat kid?
Am I going to be the quote fat kid there? Like, you know, you could be, but if you know you're just going to be with people that are your weight or bigger, you know, that's actually got to feel okay.
Yeah. I mean, odds are in your favor that there's going to be somebody fatter than you.
So if anything,
it'd be fine.
I mean, I think that's part of the reason I love this movie because I could kind of, especially at that age, like identify with like Fury. Yeah. I was pretty like chunky when I was gonna say,
you're a little fat kid back in the day.
Yeah.
It's all right, dude.
But I mean, for most kids like Jerry or whatever, it goes away eventually as long as you know, just.
You hit that growth spurt?
Yeah, you go through a growth spurt. You know,
yeah. It. Yeah, and everything fucking works itself out.
Yeah, actually, if you see pictures of Carp now, Jerry.
Yeah, I was going to say.
He's a pretty good looking dude, you know. He's doing nothing like this kid.
Yeah, he's doing pretty good. Yeah, I mean, it's not quite the transformation of Jerry O'Connell, but like, it's not bad.
Yeah.
It's not quite that level of transformation, but yeah, it's not bad. It's
or like
bad.
From Harry Potter, the porky kid that was in the first couple of movies. What was his name in the actual...
The ginger kid?
No.
One of the bully kids?
No, not a bully. No. Oh, whatever. He was one of the kids, one of the, like, he's not a main character, but one of the, you know, major side characters.
Oh, like his cousin? Or was he? Okay.
No, but it was.
I know nothing about Harry Potter.
I've seen the movies. Okay.
He was kind of like a dorky kid, and then all of a sudden as the movies go on, you're like, oh my God, what the heck? Like... I mean, people who listen to this, they're gonna, if they've seen Harry Potter at all, they're going to know exactly what I'm talking about.
Okay. The one who had the She's All That makeover, apparently. So yeah. That's the one that they're referring to. Yeah. But yeah, once again, I'm surprised as hell that they just let all these kids roll through the airport, but they end up going outside and catching the bus to camp. This is where we meet Pat. He's the one who drives the bus. Pat's pretty cool, but Pat's not a great representation of the success rate of this camp, I gotta say. Yeah. Not trying to be a dick, but...
Well, that's the funny part.
And we have to go back because Pat was one of the people on the promotional video.
He was.
I've been going to this, you know, for 15 years. Now I'm a counselor and this place is a great place to lose weight. And
I'm like just watching the video like, wait, what?
Well, here's my thing. I mean, how big was he 15 years ago?
Yeah,
you know what? That is a very good point.
This could be good for him.
I thought this, I didn't really ever, I've seen this movie so many times.
This
I never
is really kind of thought about
that. Like, why are they using that as like an example to sell people on their kids going to lose weight? It says like, you've been going here for 18 years and you're... you're still that big, but maybe he was huge.
Yeah, maybe his starting point was a lot more.
We're going about how happy he is, okay?
I mean, like I said, I like Pat. Like, Pat's...
Oh, he's great.
You know, he's a great dude, but he's just, you know, not someone I would be pushing towards the front of the camera if you're trying to sell this thing as a fat camp. If you're trying to sell it, it's just a camp. Perfect. Like, right. Absolutely perfect. Like, throw him up there. Dude seems to love it. But if you're selling this as a fat camp, maybe stick him in the background.
Just another small thing, too, is that he is also the Santa that, like, Billy Bob Thornton replaces in Bad Santa.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's, like, serious? All pissed off, like, look at that guy. Like, I've been doing this for a live show.
It's like, I've been doing this for 12 years. So, yeah. Like, that guy. Oh, that's awesome. No shit.
I can't think of anything else I've ever seen him in.
That's great.
So, yes. I don't know if I said this on mic or off mic, but another fun fact that I had heard listening to, you know, some videos is that regarding the counselors, they initially tried to get Chris Farley and Adam Sandler to be the camp counselors.
That would have been something.
In another timeline, I would love to see what that movie looks like. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I want to visit the alternate universe where that movie was made, right, instead.
Because just honestly, to see that. I bet it would be awesome.
I would like to see that.
I bet. I mean, because it would take heavyweights on a whole different.
Oh, with Ben Stiller too.
With a whole different angle, like a whole different comedy, you know, but they had said no pretty immediately. That was interesting fact to learn about.
Yeah, I didn't know that till you said that earlier. Mm-hmm. I feel like definitely would have taken the movie away from the kids, though, you know, like
100%.
Yeah. Like, how could you?
It would have turned into a Chris Farley and Adam Sandler movie immediately.
With Ben Stiller. Yep. And I would love to see that.
I kind of would too.
But you're right. Maybe the whole thing made by Disney that
wanted the focus on the kids.
They might have pushed that away, and I understand that.
Yeah, that makes sense. I still want to see it though.
Yeah, I do too.
I still totally want to see it. Oh man! So they finally get to the camp, and this is where we meet Tim and the new nurse Julie. We see Pat kind of getting all flustered with Julie a little bit. You know, she's cute. It's cool, though, that they, like, cast her because, like, she's, like, just hot enough that you can be like, Pat, like, maybe this could work, you know? She's, like, it's not like all of a sudden they pulled, you know, trying to think of 1990s, like Catherine Zeta-Jones in for this role.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Right, and it's right. Like, there's no way Pat's ever getting close to this. You know what I mean?
She's like the cute, nice.
Like, she's like the cute girl next door type. Like, I usually really like Julie. She's a cute chick.
I thought she was very cute.
Yeah, she's a cute chick. But yeah, it's good that they like went with that type of you know, woman, just because, like, if, you know, like I said, something like that. You're looking at Pat immediately going like, okay, this is bullshit. Like, no way.
I love how they, all the fat kids just make fun of Tim for being skinny.
That is really funny.
He was the one who actually succeeded.
Yeah, he actually lost weight. He used to be big.
The fat kid who succeeded, became a counselor, and now he's getting bullied.
I know. He was like, he used to be fat like us, but he lost weight, and so we just like to give him a hard time. He's cool, though.
Shouldn't he be in the promotional movie?
He's the one. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. What
he
the
should
hell?
Be the one, yeah.
Why do they, like, okay, we love you, Pat, but Tim,
you're in the front.
Had success here. Let's go.
Like, all right, Pat, we're going to make you the before picture, and then we'll have Tim as the after. It is kind of funny because it reminded me of this, like, Greg Giraldo bit and shit, where he's talking about, like, how all the kids nowadays are just, like, got some kind of allergy or fucked up or something like that. And it's basically the same thing. He's like, pretty sure soon it's going to be, like, the normal kids that are getting bullied. You know, it's like, oh, why don't you go climb some stairs, pussy? You know, like, hit the inhaler and shit like that, you know? Like, this is, I don't know, this is the first thing that came to mind.
It's like the reverse of the roles.
Yeah. Fucking fantastic.
Yeah, like, oh, you got a C in your math quiz, you stupid jock? Like, why don't you go play some football?
Yeah, exactly.
Asshole.
Why don't you,
why don't you not take allergy medicine every morning, you piece of shit? Oh, man. So Pat kind of starts bonding a little bit with Carp. They, you know, kind of hit it off a little bit, which is cool. You know, like, I feel like Pat's kind of trying to, like, look out for him a little bit because it's his first year. Mm-hmm. You know, seems like a good dude. Do that kind of thing. So basically this is where you just meet all the other kids. Like, they get to the bunk and you just, you know, meet everybody there. This is where you meet, you know, Goldberg is there, you know, Keenan's hanging out, you know, a couple of the other kids that
Goldberg is from the Mighty Ducks.
Goldberg is also from the Mighty Ducks, and so is Keenan. So But yeah, there's actually some other kids from other 90s movies that I recognize as well. And it took me over most of the course of the movie to recognize everybody, but we'll just get to that as we go through. So apparently in this fat camp, they have a huge plethora of, contraband, I guess this would be in fat camp. But everybody's got, like, a bunch of Oreos and shit like that just hidden all over the place. So they're not really taking the whole fat part of the fat camp very seriously.
They just come for the fun.
Like, it comes out of nowhere. They're, like, opening their coats. Like, you know, they have, like, watches and stuff, except it's all...
I love how
it's all candy. Just like
candy and shit. Because
Jerry's talking to Goldberg, Josh, and he's like, don't tell anyone, but I snuck in some Oreos.
Yeah.
And then Goldberg's like, oh, that was very sneaky of you.
Goldberg's kind of a dick in this movie. Like, he's like a fun dick, but like he's still kind of a dick.
Oh, can we go back to one of the funniest quotes in this whole movie was from Goldberg or Josh? Because I think we already passed it where somebody's like, oh, that new nurse, she's pretty good looking.
Oh, yeah. I think your favorite line in the movie.
It's like, what, you know, they talked about just the nurse being hot. Mm. And Goldberg, he just kind of just looks and goes, this pleases me. Like, in a very mob boss type.
It just reminds me of, like, he's doing like the mob boss guy from The Goodfellas.
This pleases me.
Paul Sorvino or something like that. This pleases me.
It was so funny.
Speaking of which, side note, did you guys get that realize at you earlier? With the Goodfellas, but with the Family Matters music and intro.
I didn't read it. No. I worked all day.
You'll have to check it out later.
I will.
It's fantastic. It's basically just takes Goodfellas and like makes it like the intro to Family Matters with the music and shit.
Oh, really?
It's so fun, but it fits perfect. It's so good. Oh, man. All right. So that night, everybody gathers together for an assembly. And this is when we get some bad news. So basically, Jerry and Mrs. Stiller come out for the airing of the grievances. Well, no, this isn't the airing of the grievances. This is basically to announce that they've sold the camp and they had to file for bankruptcy. He does kind of do it like right at the end when they walk away, though. He's just like kind of walks back up to the mic. He's like, don't let anybody sign your checks.
Like, it's have to add that.
Like, don't let anybody sign your checks. Like, he's just pissed off. Don't let anybody
sign your checks.
So funny. But yeah, so basically, you know, they had to sell the camp. And I don't know why they didn't tell anybody before. Beforehand.
Yeah, that's kind of a bait and switch.
That is
right
a very bait and switch type of movie.
We talked about that when we were watching this movie. It's like, you know what? I feel like that's like illegal.
Yeah.
That you've already, like, you're sending out advertisements of what the camp is. People pay money, take airplanes to get there, and then on day one, they go, oh, you know that thing that you paid for? Well, it's completely different, and we have no responsibility over it because we don't own this place anymore. It's like, what?
Yeah.
Why are you sending around, like, advertiser or promotional events?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's got to be illegal.
Well, it's the thing, too. Like, even just looking at it from the straight-up, like, parents' perspective, it's like, okay, you're sending your kid here, and you're sending them to be taken care of by somebody, you didn't meet them, but you met a representative from them.
Right.
And then they immediately get there and be like, oh no, we're not going to be taking care of them. It's just going to be this other guy.
Yeah, it's actually, we're no longer the owners already.
Yeah, exactly.
We're not giving you a 2-week notice. We're giving you a retroactive.
Like, okay, everybody's here now. Everybody's check cleared. Okay, we don't own this place anymore. So you guys have fun, all right?
But, so your parents are being billed to Tony Perkis because... You owe him money now.
Too. Yeah, exactly. But like, I don't know. It's a little bit of a bait and switch. Yeah. Did you guys notice Tim's belly shirt that he was rocking?
Yeah.
Like he looking like he walked off the set of Sleepaway Camp.
Oh, definitely.
It's fucking ridiculous. Or
like the one kid has one on like that on Friday, doesn't he? The
first one? Yeah. Yeah, kind of.
Definitely Sleepaway Camp. They're all wearing.
They're all wearing those. But yeah, so this is at the points where we meet the new owner, Tony, who's played by Ben Stiller. I'm probably just going to call him Ben Stiller this whole time. Mm-hmm. So he shows up. He's a fucking psycho. And he's just talking about this, you know, turning Camp Hope into Perkis Power. And basically his goal is he wants to make a infomercial to get more, I guess, to get more people to send their kids to his camp. To get them to lose weight and everything and make it like a super, you know, crazy fucking fat camp.
I mean, he essentially, if you've never seen this movie, but you've seen Dodgeball.
This is very Dodgeball.
It is the same character. Mm-hmm. Like,
just a little bit more like flamboyant. I would say
in this one,
but yeah, in this one, but I would, it's definitely white.
Yeah,
he's definitely white.
You could even argue that he's only more like flamboyant because he's constantly being filmed, you know? So he's like putting on a show, you know?
He is constantly putting on a show.
But dude, yeah, it's like the same guy.
Yeah. It's, it's basically the same character.
I mean, I feel like the hair, just even just the things that he wears, it's the same character. I mean, he plays it so well. I also read that this character was written specifically for Stiller.
Really?
Yeah. In this movie.
It's interesting. But yeah, so
that's what I read, at least.
Yeah, I mean, so he just goes on this crazy fucking rant. Apparently, he claims that he was once a fat kid himself. He was 319 pounds at age 12, apparently.
Yikes.
That's ridiculous. I did do a quick little search, though. There have been fatter kids.
Oh, no.
I did search out. I was like, who's the fattest kid ever? Basically. And it was like this one Russian kid came up who was, you know, around. Because I like looked specifically for like age 12. You know, and there's this one like Russian kid that was like, I think he was like 375, which was ridiculous.
Oh my God.
And then like there was another, I think it was an Indonesian kid who was like 415 pounds. Like, Jesus. It's fucking ridiculous, dude.
He's going to die of a heart attack at 13.
Oh yeah. I think the Russian kid died at 21.
Oh my God.
So it's just like, dude. Yeah, it's pretty fucking ridiculous. Yeah. Like, you shouldn't be 12 years old and weigh as much as The Big Show.
Oh my God,
like, that doesn't make any fucking sense.
Mm-hmm. But now he eats success for breakfast.
Yes, he does. But yeah, like, if I was them, like, I would immediately be like, all right, I'm out. Give me my money
back.
Yeah,
but you're 11. Like, what do you do?
I mean, I would call home. Well, be like, this is bullshit, dude.
Well, they did. They wrote their parents.
They did.
Which you'll see. But the whole thing is...
At one point, he is on the phone with his dad, though.
Oh, is he?
Yeah. At one point in the movie, he is on the phone with his dad.
He just tells him, like...
He is just kind of bitching about it being fat.
Buck up and be like, you know... This is what it is. He's kind of a dick about it.
He's not listening to him, but he like at the same point, Carp isn't really telling him the whole story either. It's like, what are you doing, dude?
No, seriously, the people that you think own this don't own this.
And alone should be like, listen, like, I feel uncomfortable now, and this wasn't what we signed up for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But really, so Tony, like, this assembly, as crazy as it was, he was trying to like make this like an inspirational, like, pump up the kids.
Like, oh, yeah, 100%. Dun. It's so funny, too, because as he goes running back, he only gets one high five from one kid. Like, I laughed out loud. The one kid's just, like, kind of confused. He's just like, okay, and, like, yeah, gives him a high five.
But the way he was walking, it was like everybody was high-fiving him. Like, he wasn't, like his confidence, his confidence never depleted without any of the high fives. He's just going through, like...
No, the camera was on.
I read, too, that Ben Stiller, like, just... He didn't really talk to the kids. He didn't, like, stay close. He was kind of, like, in character.
Yeah. He's, like, method acting?
Yeah, so, like, they never, like, were comfortable with him. So I think all the kids at any time are like, this guy's fucked. Crazy.
Well, actually, awesome. That probably worked out. It probably made the kids better actors because they were just like not acting. They're just like, this guy's a creep. You know what I mean?
That was a good choice by him.
Oh, man. So, yeah. So after that's the guys meet their new counselor, Lars, who definitely has a Heil Hitler thing going on. Like, Jesus Christ. And a crazy deviated septum. Holy shit.
Oh my god.
He did, like, I love how he made a point, though, to just talk about that. He's like, yes, I have a deviated septum. And don't be alarmed, I will be fine.
At night, I make a disturbing sound.
But do not be scared.
I read for the first time, too, that I had no idea. I thought that dude was literally some, like, Austrian or German guy. Apparently, he just put on the accent for this movie. I've never seen him in anything else. So I've always just thought that was that actor's voice.
I love that he did that. Because
it's good, though.
It's, like, not bad.
But it's probably, like, not exact, so that's why they never say what country he's from.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing is, like,
I am from far away.
He sticks with it, but it's not great, honestly. It's great if you don't know
where he's from.
Well, it's great, but it's, like, it's such a caricature, like... to the extreme, it's hilarious. It's like, who's that? He's like a minute away from doing that type of shit.
And you know what I mean? Make a disturbing sound. It's so funny. Just like other people just say they snore. Like, sorry, man, if I snore, like, I got a deviated septum. That's how he chooses to say it.
But at the same point, too, like, it sucks because, like, now the guys are stuck with this asshole, and Pat's just pretty much just sidelined. Like, they pretty much boot him out of the cabin.
Like, I've been in Chipmunk my whole life.
Yeah.
What is this?
Yeah, he's like, I'll just go talk to Tony. I'm sure he won't care. And, like...
It's like, yeah, why don't you do that?
That would make me extremely uncomfortable. Some shit like that. Like,
why don't you go talk to Tony and see how Tony feels about
it? Then he whips his duffel bag at him. Yeah, just like just a, like a message, face. Like... Just fuck off.
What an asshole, dude. Yes, go and talk to my Führer.
They potentially still had fun if Pat was still their counselor.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it would have been better.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, he doesn't even, like, reassign Pat to a different bunk. He turns him into, like, the janitor.
Yeah, he basically, like, has him sweep the fucking woods for some reason or another.
Yeah, he's, like, sweeping and weed whacking and cleaning toilets and shit.
Yeah, dude, like, what the fuck? So we start with, the workouts the next day, and basically, Ben Stiller's just making him go at it. I gotta say, at this point in the movie, is this really the worst thing in the world that he's doing with these kids?
Well, kind of, because I don't know if you noticed, because I didn't until, like, I've seen this movie, like, 100 times way later, but when they're doing that, like, side-to-side, like, shuffle thing in their, like, leotards, Tony's on, like, a level stage. They are on a slant. Like, so there's no one could do that. Like, you can't, like, slide back up it.
All right,
like,
fair enough. I mean, he's
setting them up for failure.
Deliberately making it harder, I suppose. I mean, I'm just saying, making these kids, like, exercise a little bit. Like, is this really the worst thing in the world at this point?
Initially, when he's doing the inspirational promo stuff, you know, because you don't see the darker stuff.
He hasn't gone crazy yet.
They haven't seen that.
But yet. I mean, it definitely starts because this is also when they start doing the public weighings.
Yeah.
And the before and after mugshots as well.
Yeah.
Which is a little, that's a little nuts, but you know, whatever.
That's a little invasive or like an invasion of privacy.
Yeah.
Right.
So
he breaks his camera. You've broken my camera.
He's done for it.
But yeah, this is where, when they're like, oh, congratulations, Mr. Sims. You are the fattest boy in camp. He's trying to shame him, and like everyone starts cheering him on. Yeah,
like he wins a
that
fucking
award. That was Josh, right? Was it? Was he the fattest guy?
No, it was this other dude.
It was the bigger. He was even like taller too. Oh, but okay. He doesn't. Yeah. I don't even know if he says anything.
I think he's supposed to be mute.
Yeah.
So he doesn't have one line. He's just like
the other. He's the one like standing at the front of the camp when the bus pulls in and it's all like ominous for like one second.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's like Crazy Ralph.
That always confused me.
Yeah, but he's like Crazy Ralph for like 2 seconds and then he's just kind of fine after that.
So I was wondering about that part where I'm like, is he just fucking with them? Because as far as he knows at this point, like,
everything's fine. Yeah.
Or he's
there's
like
no reason for him to just be like, you're all doomed. He's
the harbinger of doom, you know?
I don't know. But after that, we have the softball game, which I really don't understand the whole purpose of this shit. But apparently this is a thing. Apparently they have a rival camp called the MVPs, which is not a fat camp.
This is kind of mean.
This is kind of harsh, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Because they basically like bring over all these athletic kids to just kick the shit out of them in softball. And apparently this isn't even a Ben Stiller thing. Like, I guess they have this competition every single year.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Like, they do this every single year.
It seemed that way to me, yeah.
So it's just like, dude, what's the point? Like, fuck these fatties? Like, what are we doing here?
Is this so you just, like, get their spirits so low that
you
they
gotta
break
them like dogs? Like,
I think so, yeah.
Like, what the heck, man?
That's what you gotta do. You gotta fucking break them like dogs.
Break them down completely. Shame them.
And
so
then you
much.
Can build them back up.
Yeah. Take away all the confidence.
Yeah. So, of course, they also... I mean, we saw Carp try to throw earlier. Of course, this isn't going to go well. The fucking British kid, Pip, he's trying to play cricket while they're doing this shit.
Like, is this like cricket?
He's like, yes, it's
exactly
like cricket.
Like cricket.
It's the same thing.
It's the same exact thing.
Which is not true
it's
at all.
It's not true at all.
It's not true at all. Motherfucker's standing on home plate trying to bat.
Yeah, I don't even know much anything about cricket.
Mm-hmm.
I tried to look it up one time. It is definitely different.
Apparently, the pitcher is called the bowler, and they kind of like roll it at you or something like that, and then you smack it with that goofy stick, and I don't know, you run around. Oh, it's a goofy fucking sport.
We don't know anything about cricket.
Yep. I'm sorry to all of our English listeners.
All zero of you, I'm sure.
All zero of you, I'm sure.
If you are out there, hey.
Yeah, no, if you are out there,
or it's
there,
big in India,
up.
I think, too. I think it's big, like...
Is it?
I think so.
Okay, well, any of you guys as well, you know, let us know. Just drop us a line. Let us know about cricket, because...
Because we know nothing. We know absolutely little.
Like I said, I know the pitcher is the bowler. That's pretty much it. And you use that stupid, fucked-up bat that's, like, flat on one side, and... Mm-hmm. I don't know, it's weird. Yeah. So anyway, after they get their spirits broken by the other team, this is when Ben Stiller goes in and goddamn, dude, he's really good at finding hidden food.
Dude, what the heck? It's like...
Well, that one kid does give it up as well.
Well, yeah, but at first he's just really knocking on bedposts, finding the hollowness of it. It's like, okay, you've done this before.
Yeah.
What a narc, though. Like that... That one counselor is still fat because he was in the camp the year before, and he aged out and had to become a counselor. He just like immediately joins the Nazi party. Yep. Like,
oh, that was 100%. A counselor who ratted them out.
Yeah,
because
he's like, I was in this cabin last year. He's like, this is where they hide shit. It's like, you piece of shit, dude.
Yeah,
they never get revenge on him.
Well, he starts hooking him up with the food caches later in the movie. Yeah. We'll get there. It's because it's the same guy. So maybe at the very first, he's like, well, Tony is the boss. But then as time went by, maybe he's like, dude, this guy's fucking nuts. Like, fuck this guy.
Okay, maybe that is who I'm thinking of. You know what? Yes. Do you know what that guy was also in?
No, but he's always looked familiar.
He's one of Henry's friends in Rookie of the Year. He's one of his best friends. Yep. And he's also the cashier in Camp Now Here. When when that dude who has his own cult now is trying to buy beer.
Gets
in trouble.
Biff is there, or they could try to get Biff to arrest him.
Yeah, that's when they're like running away from Biff.
I just watched that right before I came.
Nice. So. But yeah, he's the cashier.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So yeah, a little fun fact. Yeah, George in Rookie of the Year and cashier number one in Camp Nowhere. So
cashier number one.
I mean, I don't know. It might have just been the cashier, but I don't know. But yeah, so yeah, he's just going ridiculous with the search here and just finding everything. I mean, he ends up
pretty much just trying to take all of their fun.
Yeah. Oh yeah, 100%.
Out of this.
Oh, case. Look. A deli meat.
Yeah. I mean, like, somebody's got, like, a 2-foot sausage hidden in the fucking cabin.
Salami Sam.
Like, but, yeah, so he ends up finding all the stuff and takes it.
I will say the salami's a bit much.
Yeah.
But.
but, yeah, so this is when Goldberg's kind of had enough and kind of starts giving it back to him a little bit. They get him with the Seymour Butts joke, which was something different originally, right?
Yeah, I had read that the original joke was, what was it, Peter Fitz?
Peter Fitz, yeah.
He's like, Peter Fitz, where's Peter Fitz? He's like, Peter Fitz anyway, if you push hard enough, Uncle Tony. It's like, whoa!
I can't, I see brought why you I was
by Disney.
Out.
Yeah. Brought to you by Disney, like, everyone.
Maybe we should change this name. That's a little much.
Yeah, it's a little heavy,
Did
though.
You guys notice when, like, or when he tries to, like, really, like, be nice to Keenan, and he, like, brings him in for, like, a hug, but it's all fake, and he, like, twists him and pats him down real quick.
Oh, yeah, he gets his Pez dispenser.
The Pez when he, like, cocks it and
unloads
it.
It sounds like bullets hitting the floor, and they have the ADR.
It's so funny, man.
It is ridiculous, because I was like, those are the heaviest Pez I've ever seen in my life.
It makes, like, the scene that's, like, pretty, I mean, it makes it more intense than, like,
it kind of does,
because he, like, he's such an intense character that, like, he's in there like he's you know, like the number one cop in New York City, like busting,
just shaking him everybody down,
cracking everybody down, like, it's so funny, but it's like, dude, you take this shit way, way too seriously.
Oh yeah, 100%. Oh man. So unfortunately Goldberg gets expelled from camp. I guess that's a thing.
Yeah, but you think he dies.
Yeah, I mean, kind of, because all of a sudden he's just kind of gone. You know, and Ben Stiller even makes an announcement. He's like, Goldberg's out of here, his bed is now available. Yeah. It's like, what the fuck does that mean? So of course they start, you know, the crazy rumor mill and stuff like that. It's like, oh, he, you know, tried to stab him or something and ended up in juvie, or like, you know, his parents are so mad at him they didn't pick him up, or like this and that, and just all this bullshit.
I heard he's now living with a home or in Central Park with a homeless guy who only has one leg.
Yeah, like that type of shit.
What the fuck?
Oh man.
Even the cook says something to him.
Oh, like, yeah.
The cafeteria,
he's like,
worker's,
I think he's,
like,
dead. He's just like, I think he's dead or something.
He's dead. Yeah. It's like, dude.
That's amazing.
Was he smoking a cigarette, like, right up, like, while serving the food?
Probably.
That's like how I'm picturing it.
It's a 90s summer camp, probably.
Like ashing in the fucking cream corn.
He's like,
shit.
Fuck them kids. Yeah, so also at this point, this is when Tony destroys basically all the fun stuff, you know, the blob, the go-karts, all that shit.
Oh, he popped the blob.
Yeah, he popped
that
the
was
blob.
Sad.
I was like, come on, dude.
That's what. Almost that and the
making the announcement, which is hilarious. It's like, good afternoon, campers. Lunch is canceled due to lack of hustle.
Yeah. Due to lack of hustle.
Deal with it. Like, I'm pretty sure that's illegal. Like,
I'm pretty sure that's illegal as well.
Yeah, you can't just not feed these kids.
Oh, man. So, yeah, so as if getting their asses kicked in a softball game wasn't bad enough, for some reason they organize a dance with, I guess, the girls' camp, which is Camp Magnolia, to kind of motivate them into getting some weight loss going. And, I mean, it's just, it's that typical preteen dance scene where literally all the girls are on one side, all the guys are on the other, and the dance floor is empty. Yeah, you know, it's just that like stereotypical scene you always see in, you know, shots like this. Fortunately, though, you know, I mean, Tim just kind of ends up throwing out the Hail Mary and just goes out there and just starts, you know, getting down.
He's just living his best life out there by himself.
He's just having fun, dude. I like Tim, dude. Tim's awesome.
What was it? Skinny he's just fuck. Dancing to Love Machine.
Love Machine, yeah, I think so. Yeah, he's just fucking like getting down, so. And, I mean, it works. Pat and Julie end up getting out there, and then everybody else just kind of joins in. And then immediately once it becomes a positive thing, Ben Stiller kills it.
Yeah.
Immediately kills it.
Because then it's the boys, and then the girls are like, you know what? Let's just go out there, you know? Yeah. So, yeah, but as soon as he could tell people are actually having fun, he pulls the plug.
Yeah. They do have that one funny moment, though, too, where they have, like, the one girl walking over to him, and then she just literally asks where the bathroom is. They're like, oh, my God, she's coming over, she's coming over. It's like, I think she's looking at me, dude. And she's just like, where's the bathroom?
And they all just point, like they all can't wait to help her. Like,
they're just like, here. You even got Pat and Julia watching off to the side, just... just wincing at how fucking
bad. Yeah, they're like, oh my god, I can't take this. Somebody spiked a punch, for Christ's sake.
I know, right? But yeah, and like I said, as soon as it ends up going good, though, now it's just pulls the plug. Pat and Carp go out and, you know, just have another heart-to-heart, this time about go-karts. Just kind of cool. You see Julie kind of watching them, like, play around a little bit, and you're kind of like, you know what, like, Pat might actually have a realistic shot here. Like, he might be able to get something going if he just, you know, makes a move. But after the dance, this is when Goldberg finally comes back. Apparently, his dad was a lawyer. I do like how he's fucking with everybody at first. He's basically acting like he's been, like, lobotomized.
Lobotomized. Yes. Yeah.
I almost said something different, but like I got it right.
Josh, but bad.
Yeah.
Now Josh
good. Is good. Like, just walking around.
It's so funny. It's like, oh my god! It's like, what did he do to him?
He's kind of sticking to it a little bit, but then, you know, eventually he just breaks and he's like, "Nah, I'm fine." Like. Apparently his dad's a lawyer, and when his dad found out that they weren't going to give him a refund, basically started throwing his weight around, and Ben Stiller let him back into camp.
Yeah. His dad's like the concierge to a certain crime family.
I mean, which at this point, though, too, wouldn't he just be like, Dad, this is fucked up. What's going on? Like,
yeah.
We should do something to help everybody else back there, you know, and not just send me back into the shithole.
Yeah, right.
You know, like, it's kind of weird. But whatever, that's how it goes down. So, first thing on the docket for them is they want to get all their snacks back. Which is kind of weird because you think since, you know, Ben Stiller took them, like, why would he keep them? Why would Ben Stiller keep them? You would think they would just be destroyed and thrown out. You know,
yeah, it doesn't seem like the type of guy to be eating all that crap. You know?
Well, yeah, exactly. And I mean, like I said, there's really no reason for him to keep it. So, like, I don't know why they would think that, you know, it was still there hidden somewhere. But, you know, they end up breaking into his office to try to look for it. Don't end up finding that, but they do find all the letters that he intercepted that they wrote home.
Yeah, that's fucked up.
Which is kind of fucked up.
Because it shows you throughout up until this point, like Jerry, like writing to his grandma, like a few times, I think.
Yeah.
Well, you get the idea that he's writing to his grandma because his parents aren't listening to him.
Yeah. So
he's giving that a shot.
Yeah. Know? Exactly. But yeah. So meanwhile, while they're doing all this B&E, Ben Stiller goes on the shortest run ever.
He's like going on his tourist run. He's like, picking up logs.
Yeah, he's just like all this shit. But it's literally like a 3-minute run.
Yeah, what the hell is the point of that? Like you put on a running suit to do that.
Yeah,
you asshole.
But then they do find the food stash from the rookie of the year and Camp Nowhere guy that he's running. You see everybody going and grabbing stashes out of there, like. I mean, shit, even, what's his name? Fucking, Pat.
Yeah,
like, Pat's over there pulling, bags of, Wendy's out of this fucking tree stump and shit.
Because that was the funny part, because the one time, like, they're all, like, exhausted and tired, and, like, Jerry's like, do you hear that? Fucking, that's a rapper.
That's a rapper,
dude, that's a rapper.
Yeah.
And they, like, track it down and, like, find, forget the kid's name, but he's a kid with spiky hair and glasses. And he's like, where'd you get that, motherfucker?
Yeah. The ranger just beat his ass.
All right. You gotta keep it a secret.
Yeah, that's actually Barnhill from...
Okay.
Yeah, from Bushwhacked.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Previous episode, check it out. So after, the next day... They're doing, I guess, their midsummer weigh-in to kind of see what their progress report is. This is when I actually realized that it's Barnhill from Bushwhacked, if you look at this note right there. And then I also realized that it's what's-his-face from Grandma's Boy as well, is the cameraman from this, who's walking around. He's in a bunch of, like, Adam Sandler movies, you know. He's the main guy in Grandma's
Boy. Alan Covert, though. Yeah.
Yeah, there we go.
It is hard to notice him, kind of, because he has a beard and he's always got that camera, or around his face.
And, I mean, it's 1995, so it's a giant camera that's blocking off 2/3 of his face as well.
So this is when he finds out that they are doing their weigh-in and then they've all gained
weight. They've all gained weight, yeah.
Actually gained weight.
Yeah, so...
Now he really knows
some fucked up shit. So Ben Stiller is really pissed.
He's literally starving these kids.
Yeah.
So he thinks.
So, yeah. He basically tells them after that point, since they're not taking shit seriously, that they all have to go on a 20-mile hike.
Dude, that's a good way to kill some kids.
I was just about to say, like, at least one of these kids is going to die if you make him do that. 100%. One of them is going to die.
Yeah, that's a long hike. And they're, go through a mountainous area, too. Mm. Not just, flat.
Yeah, you're not coming back with all of them. It's just, it's not happening. But before they do that, we get another heart-to-heart with Pat and Carp just kind of hanging out. And this is right after, because Pat's finally, tries to stand up to him and be like, dude, one of these kids is going to fucking die if you do this. And he's like, shut up, you fat piece of shit, basically, is his response. He's like, this isn't a healthy way to do it. He's like, I'm going to listen to the fat guy's opinion on healthy stuff. And he says it in front of Julie and all this shit. So it's pretty fucking harsh.
Real dick moment.
Yeah. But, he does get to go hang out with Carp and they kind of, make each other feel better about the situation.
Is this the point or is this later where Pat... And the nurse and the other camp counselor, they're talking. They're like, hey, we can get social service or something up here, but it's going to take like 2 weeks.
That's later on when they're talking about it.
But they started because she was like, yeah, my friend is such and such. Like, at least did they have the discussion yet?
Not all three of them yet. And not just those two, I don't think.
Yeah,
Maybe this is brought up
while they're on this hike.
Yeah, you know what? Right. Maybe it is right before this. It's we need to do something. We need to figure something out.
Yeah,
and then he says I'm going to go on the hike, and you guys. He tells Pat to get the ball rolling with Tim and Julie. So this is that point
because this was also the point where before this happened, it's these counselors are fucking adults. Like, figure this out, man. Mm-hmm. Like, you guys know this isn't right. And then once I heard I go, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, they kind of do. Just a little bit too late.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. So we get on the hike. Love Ben Stiller fucking up the Icarus story. Did you guys catch that?
Yeah, it's a little off.
He basically combines Icarus and Prometheus. He's like, remember, like, you're like, you guys like Icarus and run up the hill and you're trying to push that boulder up the hill, but then it melts and, you know, you get covered with stuff. And he's like, he just completely is fucking it
That's
up.
That's not how it goes.
Which is amazing because it's Prometheus who's got to push the boulder up the hill for eternity and it always falls back on him because he gave man the gift of fire. So, and then Icarus, of course, flew too close to the sun and that his wings melted and then he fell. So it's like, don't get dicky is the moral of that story.
The moral of that story.
Yeah. But yeah, so yeah, he does that. I love at one point when they're by that ledge and Goldberg is just straight up trying to convince Carb to murder Tony. He's like, dude, we could just push him off right now. Cause it's like a cliff on the other side. It's like, dude, really we could just bum rush him and push him off and nobody would know about it.
There's more of us than him. Yep.
Exactly. We could just
doubt that this crazy bastard would like do something that would enable him to fall off.
No. Well, I mean, he totally does because he jumps on that fucking branch and starts swinging around and shit. He's just like, come on, let's go. He's like, no, we're not
going to die. That was a very manic thing to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was very maniacal.
He's got some problems in this movie.
Yeah. That's how, like, and you're like, now I hope he falls off that because if, you know, now I have to deal with him. Like, this guy is leading us. Like, he's fucking insane.
What if he just would have fallen off at that point in the movie? And they just had to figure it out from there.
Yeah, that'd be a whole other movie. That'd be a good one.
That'd be a crazy, like, beginning of third act twist.
Yeah.
Oh, man. But they don't murder him. They do almost get him with the atomic setup, though.
Oh, my gosh. What other movie was that in? Was that in Sleepaway Camp?
That was in Sleepaway Camp, yes.
Because I saw that, I'm like, oh, the atomic setup.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, go back and listen to Sleepaway Camp if you don't know what the atomic setup is.
And does he actually rip ass in his face?
I think so. No. He gets close.
Okay.
He just gets it like really close. But because it's like an adult and kids, I don't think they could make contact. That would have been too far.
No, I was just saying, did Goldberg just fart in his face?
I don't think so. Okay. I think he was just, you know, just shaking his ass. So... Ben Stiller, of course, is very unhappy about this. Ends up chasing Goldberg. Can't catch him for some fucking reason. I don't know why, but eventually they end up tricking him into falling into a pit, and they basically catch him like a boar.
Yeah. The only thing they didn't put all like the sharpened spears at the bottom. You know?
Yeah, like cover them all with poop and stuff.
Yeah,
so you get infected. But no, they didn't do that. But yeah, they did trap him in a hole and kind of fucked his leg up a little bit. At this point, though, we are kind of like flashing back with all the counselors, and this is when she's talking about, you know, it's going to be 2 weeks before my friend can get out here, and I think Tim had something going on as well, but like couldn't happen that day or whatever. But then I think this is when they try to make the offer to the cameraman initially, but who, you know, the dude from Grandma's Boy.
Yeah.
They like offer him money to try to give them footage of Ben Stiller acting like a maniac.
Okay.
Because you know there's like a ton of that out there.
Yeah, he's filming
so.
Like everything.
Right.
Because they're like, fuck, how can we prove this? And then I think he like walks by and they're like, there you go. There's your proof right there.
He's pissed at Tony too because he's like, what? That son of a bitch still owes me like $200.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, right. That's right.
Yeah. But yeah, so all the kids end up kind of hauling him back. And this is when they straight up fucking imprison him in this makeshift prison that they put like a bug zapper to a bunch of chicken wire and they just trap him in there.
This was like much darker than I remember. Like this part, it's like, holy shit.
This was amazing. Once this happened, I was like, oh, this could get so fucking dark.
I think Ben Stiller even used this as some of his inspiration for the Tug Speedman, like when he gets captured by the fucking Vietnamese.
Oh, yeah.
Like, in Tropic Thunder. In
Tropic Thunder, yeah.
Yeah, just like, I may be enslaved here, but my mind wanders free. Yeah,
like just doing all that bullshit.
Because he's really lost it. I mean, he's pissed. He's crazier than ever.
What's amazing, though, is when they go and they bring the rest of the counselors in on it, Julie is immediately like, fuck yes, like, fuck this motherfucker. And she is all about holding him hostage.
Yeah, Pat's the only one with, like,
Pat's reason. The only one who's like, like, we could go to jail for this. And they're like, we'll just fucking kill him. I mean, that's not a conversation that takes place, but it probably does. But I just love how immediately Julie's just like, fuck yeah, let's go. Like, this is amazing. Like, great job, guys.
Well, Pat's
great
trying to help job. Him, and then he insults him.
Yeah. Yeah, he does. And then Pat's just right back on board. But like, yeah. But like I said, especially even at this point with the adults all being on board with this, this could still go super fucking dark.
Mm-hmm.
Especially with Pat, like, after all that shit.
Yeah, it's not like they got treated any better.
I want to see that movie, too. I want to see that version of this.
He was horrible. You know, Ben Stiller was shitty to everyone.
Oh, yeah, 100%. So after that, they all kind of just take over. They tie all the other counselors, including Lars, to different trees. Yeah, Lars almost gets killed by a fawn. Gets pretty upset about that, unfortunately. Kind of freaks the fuck out for a minute, but, you know, it's whatever. And they just kind of get back to having fun. They do some great psychological torture on Ben Stiller at this point. Because, like, Goldberg and then bringing the speaker of doing the recording.
Oh, yeah.
Where he's basically just talking shit to him and tells him he's got a skinny wiener and, like, all like this shit.
That's a good burn. A skinny wiener.
Yeah, I was like, damn.
Dang, a skinny wiener.
Damn.
It's like, yeah, nobody wants a skinny wiener. I mean,
yeah. I am a loser.
Yeah.
I suck.
I suck. I have a skinny wiener.
There's like ambient music in the background. It's so great how they made that.
Yeah, it's fantastic. So, of course, with, you know, with all that stuff going on, they finally just go nuts for a night, you know, just have a huge blowout, get a bunch of pizzas and make a bunch of s'mores and having a bonfire.
Giant hedonistic fucking food orgy.
Pretty much, yeah. That's basically what it is. We see Pat and Julie kind of, you know, moving further along and possibly something happening. You know, basically been teasing that the whole movie. I do love this because they go to Lars and they threaten to call ICE on him. they're just like, oh yeah, so if you're fired, like, you get, you know, deported, sent back home. So yeah, it's like, no, I want to be on your side now. We can
be
friends.
I am with you now.
Yeah, we can be friends. I don't want to go back to the. Yeah,
he gets involved in their food
he
orgy
does.
Too.
He just He's jumps like, right just in.
Jumps right in.
Do we have any bratwurst? Like,
yeah.
But yeah, I love fucking threaten him like that. It's amazing.
There was that one point, just to, like, on a side note, like how desperate they were for food. So I don't blame them for this food orgy.
Oh, yeah.
But like that one part, they were literally like trying to run after a cow. They
oh, were yeah. That hungry. I forgot about the cow.
It
scene.
Sounds like
yeah.
It's a quick thing.
During like, the middle, yeah.
Like Jerry's
montage
monologue
of,
to yeah. his grandma.
Mm-hmm.
That's bad.
Eat a raw cow. Oh, man. So the next morning, everybody wakes up from their food coma.
Yeah, but they're all passed out like they drank all night. Like,
I know.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
It's like the equivalent of like, because they're all passed out at the bonfire. Mm. Just it's like, okay, what is this? A fraternity party, like a college
Tim's,
party.
Tim's all covered in like marshmallows and shit.
Yeah.
It's fucking fantastic. But, you know, like Pat kind of like rallies them together. He's like, all right, guys, like that was fun. That was sweet. But like now let's actually try to get to the point, you know, actually, you know, try to have fun, but also try to lose a couple pounds too.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how it should
like,
go.
Let's start to be like, healthier a little bit.
Let's have fun. You know, ultimately, you make the most of what this is. You want to lose weight? That's cool. If you don't, that's cool.
Yeah. So, yeah. So after that, we pretty much go to Parents' Day. I'm a little surprised that there's not, I don't know, a little bit more worry about all the parents showing up, considering the fact that they have Ben Stiller imprisoned in the fucking barn. I mean, I know they're going to like show him the tape and be like, this is fucked up, but they also only have
the little British kid guarding him.
Yeah, they shouldn't have had Pip on that job. That was a terrible idea.
He's one of the smallest kids there. But then again, I'm assuming his parents aren't there because he, you know, they live in England.
Yeah, so they're not making that trip.
I can't believe there's so many parents did make the trip. I mean, they all took flights.
Yeah,
yeah, I guess so.
Because all the kids took a flight to get there. So I'd be like, I'll see you when it's over. Like,
yeah.
What is Parents' Day? Oh, one day? Like, I'm not coming out there for that.
Yeah.
Oh, hell no. Yeah, I would never fly somewhere.
But yeah, so they have their parents
for literally a few hours.
Yeah. Like,
unless it's like in Hawaii, and I'm like, all right, I'll make the most of
it. Well, you know, these are all fucking, I mean, they're sending their kids to summer camp, like sleepaway camp.
Yeah.
These are some rich fucking parents. Like, Jeffrey Tambor is probably doing all right to be able to send his kid to fat camp for the whole entire summer.
The whole summer?
Yeah.
Can you imagine getting rid of your kid for the whole summer? That's insane.
I know, it's kind of weird.
I mean, people do it though.
Yeah. I love how Jeffrey Tambor shows up and like he just makes that side comment to his wife, like, God, he hasn't lost a pound.
I know.
Oh my God. Not a single pound.
He's like, what the fuck am I paying for?
Yeah, there's like $3,000 down the drain.
Yeah. In 1995. So it's probably more like $10,000 now.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But yeah, so all the parents arrive, they end up showing the video that was documenting all of Ben Stiller's craziness. But unfortunately for Pip, Ben actually escapes the cell. Jesus Christ, kid, don't fall for that trick. Like, because basically he fucking, you know, taunts him with a Hershey's kiss. And it's just like, dude, you know he doesn't have chocolate.
Yeah.
Like, where did he get that chocolate from? Where did he get that chocolate? That's bullshit.
Because like, it's not even real. It's that. Like he formed it out of like a piece of like some leftover foil or something.
So, but apparently Pip's a fucking idiot. So
Pip's also starving. He's starving. Well, no, he's not starving. They just had that bum spring of a night.
Yeah, everybody's fine.
Yeah.
Everybody's fine. But yeah, so he ends up getting the drop on Pip and escaping from the cell. He ends up confronting them. Instead of coming through the door, I guess he sneaks in through the top window for some reason. But yeah, he actually kind of gets into a fight with Jeffrey Tambor, which is kind of fun. He just like kind of pops him in the guts really quick. And then he kind of just taps him on the back and then fucks himself up trying to backflip away.
Yeah.
Is it one of the more confusing movie fights I've ever seen?
Well, yeah, because he's like, he's dirty. He's been like electrocuted.
Yeah, he does look completely insane. All fucked up.
His hair is just wild.
It's like at the end of Home Alone 2, what Harry and Marv look like.
Yeah, exactly. Pretty much.
Or the end of Home Alone, and either of the Home
Alone. Either one, yeah. They're not looking great. Just one of them, they're covered in bird shit. So it's the only difference.
Right.
Oh, man. So all of a sudden, Tony Perkis Sr., you know, shows up, which is 100%, you know, Ben Stiller again, just in a costume, which is hilarious. But he basically, you know, shows up, is like, hey, sorry, we'll fucking refund all the money and all that. And pretty much all the, he's going to take Ben Stiller away. But, you know, at this point, Carp is like, hey, we took care of the problem. Like, let's finish out the summer and have camp. So they just end up putting what's his face in charge? Pat. They put Pat in charge. Because he basically just asks, like, who's been here the longest? So I guess, like, Tim said he was, like, 4 years. You know, Julie was her first year, and Pat was 18. So he wins. I love how, like, just whatever he is about this. He's just so...
God, what have you been doing with your life?
You, like, just... Yeah, I know, right? But, like, this character does not give a fuck about this camp at all. No. He's just like, whatever. It's like, all right, you got this here. Here's the keys. Lock it up when you're done. He just walks away.
Yeah, I don't think it is really that easy, especially after, like, the crimes that have been committed here.
Yeah, nobody gives a shit about any of the legalities.
Yeah, he is the light fixture king of Western Pennsylvania. Yeah.
Well, he's probably kind of like, okay, you don't press charges against me, then we won't press charges against you guys for kidnapping. It's just, it's a wash. We'll just wash.
Let's just move
on.
And
everything will be fine. Like, it'll be fine. You can stay and have your little camp and whatever. Oh, God. So... So, yeah, so now they, you know, Pat's basically the head honcho. So they kind of get back to work, trying to figure stuff out, and decide that they're going to compete in, I guess, the Apache Relay, which I guess is a thing there. And it's against that camp MVP that kicked their ass at softball earlier in the movie. So they kind of go through... You know, I guess it's like a three-event thing. It's basically an obstacle course, like a trivia challenge, and then a go-kart race. So, of course, the obstacle course, you know, they end up losing that from the get-go because they...
Fail miserably.
They had to have picked, there had to have been somebody who was better at a potato sack than this kid. Because, like, I don't know, they immediately send this kid out, and he just falls over, and then it just goes through. So, like, the obstacle course, they get smoked. Fortunately, though, the MVP camp is a bunch of tards. So when they get to the knowledge portion of it, you know, Camp Hope ends up sweeping that. And then we finally get, we finally get to the go-kart race, and it's, you know, Carp racing on behalf of Camp Hope and ends up pulling out the victory right at the end. So I love how Pat, like, knows the kid, though, too. He's like, watch out. Like, this kid drives dirty. He's like, gonna try to pull some shit on you, which he does. He knocks him off the course, but, you know, he ends up getting back in the nick of time, and they end up winning the trophy.
But yeah, Jerry's is like, didn't Pat, like, rig it so it's got, like, a booster on it or something?
I think, yeah,
he was did. Cheating. Like, he just, I don't, maybe not with their rules. They don't, he's not like, guess what? We're gonna fucking win this one because we're cheating.
Yeah. He's just like, here, drive the thing. You know, like, whatever. I mean, it's just a go-kart race. Like, I don't think it said anything about enhancements.
No.
Or anything like that. Part of, well, didn't you put the boat motor in there when they rebuilt this? Because they stole the boat motor from them the one night.
They did steal the boat motor.
So I think they put the boat motor into the go-kart, which would, you know, probably give it a little bit more oomph.
Oh, that would make sense.
Yeah.
Actually, I never thought about that.
But yeah, so they win. And of course, the other camp is like, this is bullshit. We've won this for like... 33 years, and, you know, that one guy's all pissed off, and, you know, whatever. They do the ultimate fuck you, though, by taking the trophy and just throwing it in the lake. Just like, oh, you want this? You want this piece of shit? And they just huck it in there. Pat finally makes his move and kisses Julie, so fuck yeah, Pat.
Nice.
Good for him.
Go, Pat.
About fucking time. And then, yeah, it's just kind of, you know, the end. Everybody's just, you know, celebrating, you know. Carp admits it was the best summer of his life, so, you know, that worked out as well. And then we go into the credits, and everybody's just kind of singing the Camp Hope song. They even have fucking Lars come in and sing a fucking verse, if you guys caught that as well. Because if you do make it all the way through the credits...
I didn't.
Yeah, it's just they pulled a Marvel, and there's a post-credit scene after this where apparently Ben Stiller is now a door-to-door crystal salesman who just immediately gets the door closed in his face. So that is Heavyweights from 1995.
Oh, yeah,
so what do you, I was going to say, yeah, final thoughts. Obviously, Kyle, you got the veterancy on this one. So
yeah, go ahead, you know, I think off. One thing I forgot to mention, too, in the beginning is that Judd Apatow wrote this. I think was one of the writers.
He's one of the writers, yeah.
So, you know, he goes on to make like 40-Year-Old Virgin and geez, I know.
He's got a bunch of stuff.
Knocked Up, like some really great movies from the 2000s.
Oh yeah.
So yeah, that's kind of like an early one for him and to be involved with. And yeah, I just love this movie. Could throw it on pretty much any time.
Nice.
Fall asleep to it. Just enjoy it at any time.
Nice. That's awesome.
I agree. I feel like, and I said this in one of the other movies, and I can't remember which one. If this would have been in my rotation in the 90s, because really, this was made in 95, so I only would have been a few years younger than these kids. Like, I feel like this would have been one of those movies that, like, sat with me the rest of my life. You know what I mean? Oh, because those are the times, those are the movies that I cherish, are the ones, you know, from my childhood where I remember the nostalgia. And I feel like this could have been one if I just, I don't know, if I just watched it. Like, I know I knew about it. And at some point, I know I saw parts of it. Like, it wasn't at that, like, time in my life where I watched it all the time, you know? But it was good. It was one of those just, like, fun summer movies that you just kind of have on in the background. It's got some, like I said, some of the quotes in the movie is very funny, you know? And then the parts where, like, that's freaking dark. Like, where did that come from, Disney? Like, what? And, like, so those typical parts kind of, like, throw that, you know, threw me for a loop. But overall, it was a very enjoyable movie. It was one that Dustin could sit down and watch with me because he doesn't know, you know, depending on what the movie is, like, he'll watch whatever. But, you know, I was like, hey, you want to watch Heavyweights? He's like, yeah.
Of course, yeah. I know if Dustin is down, it's usually a great one.
Yeah. No, that's awesome. I mean, you know, like I said before, I'm basically in the same boat as you with this one for some reason or another. Like, I know I've seen it once or twice, but for one reason or another, it just wasn't a part of my rotation. And I mean, all these other movies that we mentioned were, you know, it wasn't any dislike or anything that I remember, but it just wasn't part of it. But it was cool to go back and actually watch it again. You know, like I said, I haven't seen it in forever. So, like, I know that you fucking love it. Like, I've heard you reference it, like, time and time again and shit like that.
Out of, like, the trifecta of mid-90s summer camp movies, this, Camp Nowhere, and Bushwhacked, like we talked, whether it fits in there or not.
Technically, but, like, Bushwhacked.
They kind of have, like, the same kids somewhat through some of them. This Heavyweights is probably my favorite out of the three. Saying a lot, because I love Bushwhacked.
Yeah.
And I love Camp Nowhere, too.
Camp Nowhere is fantastic as well.
If I had to pick one, I'd probably pick Heavyweights, just because Ben Stiller. I mean,
yeah, he was great. And I mean, he was, like, you just loved to hate him. Like, can you imagine somebody else in that role?
No.
I can't.
Like, yeah, because, like, Daniel Stern and Christopher Lloyd in the other two movies, you like them, but there's something about loving to hate Ben Stiller in this.
He's like,
it's like,
he's just like, you just hate him.
Yeah, and fortunately, if I was going to rank them, I'd probably say Bushwhacked, Camp Nowhere, and Heavyweights. So that's just my personal personal thing, though.
Yeah, no harm in that. I mean, they're all, in my opinion, great movies.
Fantastic. Yeah, don't get me wrong. Like, that doesn't mean Heavyweights is bad. That's just my personal ranking. So
probably have to think. I don't know. That's a really hard. I don't know about the other two.
Yeah.
Out of the three, I think Heavyweights for sure number one.
What I will say is, as a kid, I still know, like, The Blob was like the coolest thing in the world. And I feel like if I would see The Blob or hear of a place that has The Blob, like, I knew of The Blob and that it was called The Blob, but I don't think I could have pictured, like, if somebody says, what movie was that from? I'd be like, oh my God, I can't remember. Like, I can't remember what movie that was from. I just remembered I thought it was the coolest thing ever.
I mean, it is the coolest thing ever. The giant balloon thing that like throws you in the air.
I think I was somewhere once, and maybe at a water park or something, that where there was a blob.
Nice.
Of course, I did it. I think I wish I knew where it was at, but yeah. I mean, I had to because of this movie.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was gonna say, you did fucking better off.
Oh, definitely.
Nice. All right, so that is Heavyweights. Spent the past hour and a half talking about how we feel about it, but how do you guys feel about it? Were you more like Kyle, where you saw this a bunch of times back in the day, or were you more like Amanda or I, where you saw it once or twice, but it wasn't really in your rotation? Let us know. You can hit us up on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, all the places. Yeah, and I suppose on behalf of Lopotomized, I'm Kevin.
I'm Kyle.
I'm Amanda.
Peace out.
Please.
Please.